Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15 in your Scofield Bible, page 1096. We'll be reading first from verses 3 through 10. And then we'll skip a few verses and go on to verses 20 through 24. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read responsively. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now verses 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And let's finish on verse 24 together. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. And let's pray. And Father, what privilege is ours this evening. We thank Thee for this gathering of people. This is a unique gathering, inasmuch as there will never again anywhere at any time be exactly this gathering of individuals. And so we pray that You'd reach the hearts that need to be reached, and that the Holy Spirit would be allowed freedom to work in our service tonight. And bless the preaching, the preacher, and give us intentness upon hearing Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, the happiest person in heaven. The happiest person in heaven. Let me just say one word before I preach. I could not help but think tonight, Brother Wendelken and his wife being here, all those times that I spoke at Highland Park Baptist Church back in Dr. Robertson's heyday, I have an idea that those memories have gone through the minds of these two friends who served there during those years. The first time I spoke at Highland Park Baptist Church, Dr. Robertson was 45 years of age. That's been 40 years ago. I'm saying all that to say this. Let's savor every moment of these days that we're enjoying together. Our Heavenly Father, I want tonight to be a blessing. That's all I really want. I guess someday I'd like to preach a good sermon. That's not really important to me tonight. I just want to be a blessing to these whom I love dearly. And I pray tonight that You'd help me to be. Encourage us, strengthen us, lift us, build us, in Jesus' name, amen. Heaven is a happy place. Bible teaches us that we will sing and shout, and God's people will be happy people in heaven. I doubt very seriously if some of you folks are going to enjoy it a great deal. There's some of you, I doubt very seriously if you're going to... But anyway, heaven is a happy place. If you don't like having a lot of noise here, you better get ready for it, because you're going to... You better get you some ear muffs when you get to heaven. And you may even... Your shouter may even get fixed when you get to heaven. Heaven is a happy place. It's happy because... are happy for God's people. We will sing and praise God forever and ever and ever. Heaven is a happy place because the angels will be there. We find on various occasions in the Bible that the angels will sing and praise God and exalt His name in heaven. But there's one great praise and shout in heaven that exceeds all others. Let me, without you turning to it, let me remind you that the verses we read a while ago, when we read the story of the lost sheep, the shepherd there is God, or shall I say, Jesus. And whatever the... By the way, it also says in verse number 7, says, that likewise, which means that whatever this shepherd does in the story of the lost sheep, our Heavenly Father does in heaven when people come, a sinner repents and comes to Himself. Now, whatever the prodigal son's father did, even so will our Heavenly Father do. Sweetheart, would you mind keeping that still for me? Folks behind you have not been able to watch carefully. By the way, it's a little girl. It wasn't a lady I was talking to there. And it wasn't a man either, wasn't there? But it's a little girl. But I'm saying that whatever this shepherd who found the sheep did when he found his sheep, that's what Jesus does in heaven when his sheep come home. Whatever this woman did that lost a coin, that's what Jesus does in heaven when a sinner is saved. Whatever the father did in the story of the prodigal son, whatever emotions he showed, is what Jesus does when a sinner repents and comes to God. Now, the honest truth is, there's no way to describe how happy Jesus is going to be and is in heaven. Because we have to use the kind of joy that we have that is tempered with humanity to describe the kind of joy that Jesus will have in heaven. However, the happiest person in heaven is going to be Jesus. Now tonight, I think one of the great things we're going to enjoy in heaven is looking at Jesus have fun. And all I'm going to say tonight is just to talk about how much fun it's going to be to see Jesus have fun. It says concerning this lost sheep, it says when he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And that means that Jesus is rejoicing in heaven tonight and will in a few minutes, especially when folks come to himself. Then he says that this shepherd called his friends and neighbors and said unto them, rejoice with me. And that's again the rejoicing that Jesus does in heaven. And then down in verse 9 it says that she said, the lady who had found the coin said, rejoice with me. And then in verse 10 I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Doesn't say here the angels rejoice, says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. That means that Jesus is having a spell over one sinner that repents. Tell me who was the happiest here, the shepherd that found his sheep or the neighbors that came to rejoice with him? Then tell me who's going to be the happiest in heaven, the Savior that died for us or those of us that have our loved ones with us? Tell me who's happiest tonight in heaven when a sinner gets saved.
the one who came and lived and died and suffered for him to save him, or those of us that just tell the story and tell them how to be saved. And then when it talks about the prodigal son that came home, he said, put the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. And then it said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now that word merry there is an interesting word. It means jumping up and down. The truth is, the word merry means, it's sort of like cheering. And it says here, he said, they began to be merry. Who began to be merry? The father began to be merry. Don't tell me that the father wasn't happier than the neighbors were. So I'm saying that heaven's going to be a wonderful place. We're going to be a mighty, mighty, mighty happy. But the happiest person in heaven tonight is Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. And then it says, goes on down, and it says, now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Guess who was singing? The father was singing. Guess who was singing the most? The father was singing the most. Guess who was dancing the most? We're not talking about rock and roll or the dish rag twist or the bow weevil wiggle or the waltz. We're talking about jumping up and down and having a spell. Now, it says, likewise so. That means that whatever joy that these three that had recovered a lamb or sheep and a coin and a son, likewise so there's joy in the presence of the angels. And that means that this joy that they had, the man, the shepherd that found his sheep, the joy that he had is akin to the joy that Jesus has when somebody comes to Christ. And the joy the lady had when she found this lost coin, and the lost coin was more than just a quarter or a half a dollar. It's a kind of a coin that a woman wore around her neck. She got it when she got married, much like a wedding ring. Can you imagine how she felt when she found her wedding coin that was like a wedding ring? Now, the joy that she had is likened to the joy that Jesus has in heaven when a sinner comes back to God. And the joy that the Father had when his son came home is likened to the joy that Jesus has when someone comes to himself. Now, I want to say this. First thing I want to say is heaven, Jesus, rejoices more than anybody else. And that's one of the reasons we're going to have a lot of fun in heaven, is because we're going to have a lot of fun just watching him have fun. I was down preaching a few weeks ago at the National Sword of the Lord Convention. All of us know that Dr. Curtis Hudson, the editor of the Sword of the Lord, is terminally ill, so say the doctors. He has cancer, prostate cancer, and cancer of the bone that's all over his body. And most of us felt that was the last, we hope not, but that was the last Sword of the Lord Convention. I brought the closing message of the convention, and Dr. Hudson got happy. And he was so sick that he preached before I did, but he couldn't preach for about 20 minutes, and didn't preach. He wasn't himself when he preached, and sat down tired and weary after 20 minutes. But when I got through preaching, we had 62 men and teenagers ready to preach that night, and Dr. Hudson, he forgot to be sick. And somebody said to me, look at Dr. Hudson. And Dr. Hudson was moving over there like he's about to come unscrewed. And Dr. Hudson stood up and started singing. And he sang in a hillbilly kind of music, the kind that Jesus sang in when he was on earth. And he had that twang to it, and I'd never heard him sing like that in my life. And he started singing. I'd preached my sermon on Marah and Elam. Elam being the place of blessing and Marah being the place of cursing, and you have your choice. And here on one side is Elam and all the good things that God has done for you. Here on the other side is Marah, and anybody has enough bad to be at Marah if you choose to, or enough good to be at Elam if you choose to. And Dr. Hudson got all excited and got up and started singing, I'm on the winning side. And he just kept on singing. I wish I knew the song, I'd sing it to you, but it's your benefit that I don't know it. But he got singing, I'm on the winning side. And he sang a stanza in the chorus, and he just kept on singing. Now, this guy, dying with cancer, he couldn't preach, but he did sure could get happy. He didn't have enough energy to preach over 20 minutes, but he threw a fit for about 30 minutes up there after it's all over. And he kept on singing, "I'm on the winning side. I'm on." And listen, how many of you folks were there that night? Anybody there that night? Okay, you folks were there that night. You know what a time he had. He and people kept saying, "Look at Dr. Hudson. Look at Dr." And we had fun because we're on the winning side too. But we had more fun watching him sing than he was on the winning side. Now, praise God, we get to heaven. I'm going to shout and have a spell, but I'm just going to sit down and say, look at Jesus. That's not him there. Jesus is not Italian, but I'll say, hey, look at Jesus. And Jesus is going to be shouting more than anybody else. He's not some long-haired queer that some long-haired queer painted on a canvas. And one of the great things about heaven is to watch Jesus have a good time. Never dawn on you that heaven's for Jesus and not for you. Never dawn on you that God created you for His praise and not for your fun. Never dawn on you that you are made for the glory and the praise of Almighty God. Never dawn on you that you're for His praise were you created. And heaven is for Him to have fun and for us to see to it He has fun. And the Bible said, like that father, when the son came home, and the father said, "Well, glory, my boy is home. Hey, come with me, man. We're going to rejoice. Rejoice with me. Amen. Rejoice with me. My son's home." And now, the neighbors had a heap of fun, but the neighbors didn't have as much fun as the father had. We get to heaven, we're going to have a spell. But you folks who criticize us for having a spell, you wait until you see Jesus get loose. Our joys of heaven will be, one of the great joys of heaven, will be watching the one that's happiest of all. The one for whom heaven was made. The one for whom you were made. The one for whom the stars and the moon were made. The one for whom the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the beasts of the field were made. The one for whom the lakes and rivers and oceans and rock and rills were made. I'm saying that one for whom heaven was made, one of the great joys of heaven, will be... And I can imagine a lot of those neighbors said, "Look at that father. His son's home. Look at him. Isn't he having a good time? Isn't it?" And boy, we'll look over to Jesus and he'll be having a spell. And some of you Episcopalian Baptists, you'll criticize Jesus. You'll say, "He shouldn't shout like that." Now, I'm trying to tell you that the happiest one in heaven is going to be Jesus. We're at the amphitheater. Dr. Hudson had preached, and we had that great service that night. And man, that one of the best memories of my life is that amphitheater service. We have a man here tonight. He's a graduate of... He's a Rhodes Scholar, which means he graduated from a school named Rhodes or a school named Scholar. I'm not sure which one. He's also a graduate of two of the outstanding universities in America. He heard about that service down there, and he got saved and baptized that night and been coming to church here ever since. This man flies every other week to London, every other week to Hong Kong. Don't go to Pittsburgh. By the way, I'll be at Pittsburgh Airport tomorrow, God willing. But I mean, he was there that night. But I remember Dr. Hudson that night. He was happy. I mean, brother, he came unscrewed. And we had a couple of guys here. Started running. Remember that? Running around that amphitheater? And I thought, now, Dr. Hudson's not going to like this. And Dr. Hudson has never been, till he got sick, he's never been one to cry a lot or be overly emotional. But the closer he gets to heaven, the more the happier he gets. And he was sitting there that night, and these two guys were running around the whole building having a spell. All of us having spells, but these two guys... We're having a running fit, not just a fit. And Dr. Hudson was sitting there watching them. And I thought, now I wonder what he's thinking. As they came around, he said, "Hey, run a lap for me. Run a lap for me." And I sat there and I had fun because I was having fun, but I had fun watching him. Oh, praise God when I get to heaven. And when somebody gets saved down here on earth, I'm going to watch Jesus and see how much fun he has. That is no. He calls his friends and neighbors. Up in heaven, every time somebody gets saved, Jesus has a spell, but he calls his friends and neighbors and says, rejoice with me. What is he going to do when some of you, wonder what you're going to do when some of you deadheads are called by Jesus? Some of you folks that wouldn't say amen to see the Mississippi River tied in a bow knot. You could watch somebody walk all the way across Lake Michigan on top of the water and you wouldn't even have a holy grunt. The Pope could walk down the aisle and get saved and you wouldn't even say, well, praise the Lord. You wait till you get to heaven and a bunch of folks get saved in a church down here on earth and Jesus grabs you and says, shout, man, shout! And I'm going to have fun watching him shout and I'm going to have fun watching you do your first shout too. See, I'm not the type. When Jesus gets a hold of you, you'll be the type. He says, rejoice with me! And we're going to sit over there while he's praising and shouting. We're going to say, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. I preached for all those years, Dr. John Rice. One night we were having a service down with Bob Gray. Years ago, Bob Gray in Jacksonville. He had the wildest church you ever saw in your life. And one day he got so happy, Dr. Bob Gray took off his shoes and ran out the center aisle, ran outside, ran around the building shouting while the congregation was staying inside. Came back in the back door and kept on preaching. I may do that next Sunday morning. But anyway, we had a service one night. I'll never forget. A charismatic lady stood up back in the back and we were having a big time, and she said, well, glory, hallelujah. But she said, Mr. Rice, you better be careful. She said, these folks are speaking mighty well of you, and the Bible says, woe unto you, and men speak well of you. And the old preacher named Billy Kelly, you remember Billy Kelly, big old fat guy, weighed about 850 pounds, red-haired. He got happy in the back, and he started having a spell. And Dr. Rice all of a sudden began to sing, I just heard from heaven, and this one thing I know, my sins are all forgiven, he washed them white as snow, the load that once I carried, he took away somehow, and I just heard from heaven, and it's all right now. He was just singing a little bit like that, and then somebody said, look at Dr. Rice. He was the captain of our team. When the captain got happy, we wanted to look at him. And he sang it again. I just heard from heaven. Except he sang. And I just heard from heaven. And this one thing I know. And then he started dancing across the platform saying, the windows of heaven are open, open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart. And everybody's just having a time shouting. But we're having more fun watching Dr. Rice have a spell. Bible says that to call his friends and neighbors, and while he's talking to his friends and neighbors and shouting, we'll say, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Everybody in that meeting the other night knew Dr. Hudson was bad, sick, and probably terminally ill. And everybody in that meeting was happy, but they were happy because they were watching the fellow who was in charge of that meeting have a wonderful time. Now, third thing that they did when this prodigal son came home, the father, he rejoiced. Then he called his friends and neighbors to rejoice. And then they ate in celebration. Now wait a minute. Think about this for a minute, folks. This one son came home. And a prodigal son, his father said, let's have a meal and probably praising God, let's just eat. I don't know about you, but I can praise God better on a full stomach than I can an empty stomach. Right? So they ate. Now, if I understand the Bible right, this one son came home, they had a feast, and it said, so likewise in heaven. So every time somebody gets saved, they have a meal up there. You say, you think that's true? I don't care if it's true or not, but I like to think about the possibility of it.
And Jesus will be praising and eating. And I'll say, hey, John, look at Jesus. Look at him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. Look at him. Isn't he having a good time? Old Dr. Rice is dancing. Now, he didn't do this often, but that one time down at Bob Gray's church, he was dancing across the platform singing, I just heard from heaven. And then, the windows of heaven are open, open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy. And he is jumping up and down and singing it. And everybody out there said, look at Dr. Rice. Look at Dr. Rice, the captain of our team. Look what a good time he's having. Brother, I'm going to have a good time in heaven, but I'm going to have a good time watching my Savior have a good time. That's why he saved you, so he could have a good time. You are saved not to keep you out of hell and get you on golden streets. You are saved for the praise of his glory, and it's time some of you got to doing what God saved you to do. So we'll eat. But there's something else I like. Don't forget it said, so likewise. So likewise. So what happened at that father's place? What happened that the sheep came home? So likewise in heaven. Bible says they began to be merry. That word merry means cheering, like a ball game. It doesn't mean a choir singing, amen. It doesn't mean like a church chanting, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It doesn't mean a choir singing, all things come of thee, O God, and of thy... No, the Bible says that again they began to make merry, and the word merry means like cheering at a ball game. Yesterday... Now, somebody's going to get mad at me right now, but I had a good time driving to church yesterday, about 5:30. I turned the radio on. You want to hear it, huh? I turned the radio on. Notre Dame was playing football. 7 seconds left. Notre Dame was ahead by what? 1 or 2 points? 1 point? What? Ahead by one? They lost by two. And Michigan had the ball, and a guy on was going to kick it 42-yard, attempt a 40-yard field goal. Now, some of you folks are Notre Dame fans. I love you, but you got to screw loose. And touchdown Jesus failed them yesterday, I'll tell you for sure. And so they lined up and said, there's the snap. 7 seconds left. When the ball finally got to the uprights, 2 seconds left in the game. And he said, there's the snap. And the ball is placed down. And the kick. And it sailed toward the uprights and through the uprights. And all of Michigan fans said, all things come of thee, O God. And of thine own give we unto thee. Amen. And then they sang, amen. Whoopee. Hot dog. Ra, 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 ra. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. That place went wild. In fact, I did a little bit of shouting in my car. You say, you from Michigan? No, I'm just against Notre Dame, that's all. Okay, Fred Mooney, don't get mad at me up there now. Where's Henry Brown? Don't you get mad at me, Henry. But I mean, the Bible says they began to be make merry. They didn't say, well, that's wonderful. May the Lord be praised. No, sir. The brother was on. And the Bible's talking about cheering like a ball game. Pray tell me, why shouldn't we, who are on our way to heaven, get more excited than a bunch of people do about a ball game?
A kick and a football.
But guess who is the merriest? Look at Jesus. Look at him. He's done lost his composure. And some of you Pharisees will say, Jesus shouldn't be doing that. The whole thing's for him. He'll be the happiest one there. Look at him. He's happy. Look at him. He's trying to get folk to be happy with him because that sinner got saved down there. Look at him eating that food in honor of everybody getting saved. Praise God. Every time I get saved, I'm going to eat a cheese quarter pounder. Look at Jesus. Look at him being married. Look at him howling and screaming. Look at him clapping his hand. Hey, somebody down there got saved. But now here's the interesting about it. Here's the interesting thing. It won't be any surprise. It's not any surprise to Jesus if somebody gets saved. He knows it. He knows they're going to. 1951, I think it was, I was sitting beside a radio down a little country church in East Texas, little parsonage, listening to the playoff of the National League Championship. I think it's 51. New York Giants were playing against Brooklyn Dodgers. Brooklyn Dodgers were ahead. I think it's 4-1. Came the last inning. Had a fellow named Don Newcomb was pitching for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and he should have stayed in, but they called a fellow named Ralph Branca in. And they scored a run. They had two men on base. It's 4-2 now, I think it was. I was sitting beside a little radio, and I was a New York Giant fan. Had a pitcher named Sal Nagley was one, and I think Alvin Dark even played on that team, if not mistaken. And Willie Mays was center fielder, and I always liked Willie Mays. And I was sitting, had my ear upside that little radio, and up came a guy named Bobby Thompson. Last inning, I think there's two outs, two men on base, two runs behind. Ralph Branca winds up, throws that ball. Bobby Thompson hits it. And the announcer says, it's a fly ball to left field. It's going. And then he starts screaming, the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. A home run, three-run home run, last half of the ninth inning. And he kept screaming, the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants. The other day, I was sitting in a motel room, and I heard they're going to replay that thing on television. Now, I knew what was going to happen. But, brother, I jumped up and down and screamed in my motel room. I called a fellow, an ex-room preacher friend. I said, hey, I want you to see something. You ain't old enough to know what this means. I sat there, and I said, I want you to notice this now. I said, they're going to call in Ralph Branca. Don Newcomb's going to go out. I said, now, Bobby Thompson's coming up, two men on base. I knew everything that was going to happen. And I said, this is it. This is it. This is the pitch. Branca winds up. I said, watch it. Watch it. Watch what I'm saying. Hey, hey. And I jumped up and started saying, the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. The Giants. Hey, Jesus knows who's going to get saved tonight, but he's still going to have a spell when you walk down the aisle. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at there. He's rejoicing. Look at him trying to get folks to rejoice with him. Look at him eating. Look how happy he is. Look at that. He's being merry, which means he's cheering like an athletic contest. Jesus knew you'd get saved tonight. He full well knew you'd get saved tonight. He's up there right now. He's saying to one of the angels, he said, invitation's coming after a while. He said, how's this preaching? It's going to be a while. Jesus sits down here and he says, I won't talk to somebody who's going to go to heaven. He says, you folks not having fun, go on home. There's a Catholic church across the street. Go over there. Jesus says, "Hey, Scott, they're going to start the invitation in a few minutes. That fellow back here, third row in the back, he's going to come forward." I've known it for millions of years, but I'm just as happy about it now as I was a million years ago. Hey, Scott, he's going to come on the next stanza. Watch him. He's third back or third row from the back. You watch him. And Jesus said, this stanza. He said, there about two-thirds through with this stanza. He said, watch him right now. And down he comes. And Jesus has a spell. And Scott says, ah. Oh, listen. Sweetest thing about heaven will be watching Jesus have the fun he deserves to have. He who had no place to lay his head will have more fun than anybody in heaven. Watching him who had fun, whose own city expelled him, own synagogue kicked him out, his own nation rejected him, his own people turned him away, and he was crucified wrongly and tried wrongly and hated and despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and now he's in heaven, and he's the one having more fun than anybody else is having. And up there they're saying, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, how much fun he's having. And then the Bible says, and by the way, so likewise. Don't get those two words. What happens down here when that man saw his son come home? So likewise. Okay, what else happened? The Bible said this prodigal son's brother came in when they were having this party and he heard singing. Heard music. If you'll turn, you won't turn to it, but if you turn to Zephaniah 3:17, you'll find what that music is. That's the sweet voice of Jesus singing. The Bible says he will sing over thee with joy. I mentioned a while ago here in Dr. Rice saying, the windows of heaven are open, open. The blessings are falling tonight. Brother Roloff all of a sudden starts singing, well, they came, and they were blessed, and he gave the weary rest. And he made that their old blinded eyes to see. Well, he fed the hungry soul, and he made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. And he didn't do it that well, but did the best he could. And we'll be singing, and the voice of Jesus, a beautiful, tender voice. He begins to sing. As he sees a sinner come down the aisle tonight, I can hear him as he sings, there's a new name written down in glory. And you'll say, look at Jesus. And listen to him sing. You won't be long till we'll hear him sing. Listen to him sing. Look at Jesus. Look how happy he is. Look at Jesus. He's trying to enlist other people to rejoice with him. Look at Jesus. He's cheering. Look at Jesus. He's having a meal in honor of the people getting saved. Look at Jesus. He's singing. Listen to his voice. And then there's something else. It says in verse 25 that the brother heard singing and dancing. So likewise. So likewise. And that word dancing, I looked it up, and the word dancing means lifting up the feet, jumping up and down. Up in heaven tonight, Jesus looks down. He sees people going to get saved tonight in this service. And after a while, they walk down the aisle, and Jesus jumps up and down. And that's what dancing is in the Bible. And he's having a spell, and he's praising God, and he's jumping up and down. And up in heaven, they'll say, look at him. He who was hated is loved, and he who was dishonored is honored. He who was crucified is now crowned. He who wore a crown of thorns wears a crown of glory. He who wore the borrowed overcoat wears now the robe of majesty. He who held a walking stick now holds a royal scepter.
He who had no subjects but a jeering mob now has his people with him praising him in heaven. Look at Jesus. I'm so happy. He's happy. I'm so glad he's happy. Years ago, Dr. J. Harold Smith was preaching in our church in Texas. He said something funny, and for some reason or other, I wasn't listening too well. And I wasn't laughing, and the people looked at me to find out if they were supposed to laugh or not. Because they felt like if I didn't laugh, they weren't supposed to laugh. We had a young church of people. Didn't have a bunch of rebels like we have here now. And finally, J. Harold Smith told a bunch of funny things, and I would have my mind on something else, and I wasn't laughing. And finally, he turned around, and he said, "Laugh, Hiles, laugh!" He said, "Nobody's going to laugh till you laugh. Nobody's going to shout till Jesus shouts." And you look at him and say, he's having a wonderful time. But now, wait a minute. They're saved sinners, too. Lost sinners, not the only one, make Jesus happy. They're saved sinners, too. Jesus up in heaven looks down and said, "Look at there. Old Joel's giving up his liquor tonight. He's having a spell. Look at there," said, "those two disgruntled people just getting right with God. Look at there, that fellow never does shout. At least he's smiling." I'm saying tonight, Jesus gets mighty happy when a sinner comes back. Lost sinner? Oh, yes. But likewise, a saved sinner. Look at that young lady, Jesus said. She's going to quit wearing her pants. She's going to wear a modest skirt. Look at that long-haired hippie down there. He's going to get a haircut. Glory. That's what's so wonderful about heaven. I'm looking forward to having a good time. I'm looking forward to us having a good time. I'm looking forward to us having a Sunday evening, well, no evening, but a Sunday, our second service on Sunday up in heaven. I'm looking forward to having it where all of you get happy. Where none of you walk out during the invitation. Where nobody criticizes because somebody else gets happy. But I'm looking forward most of all to seeing him who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Foxes had their holes, the birds had their nests, the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. His own family couldn't understand him. His mother never quite understood him. His brothers never, they sure didn't understand him. The synagogue where he grew up as a boy, when he preached his first sermon, they kicked him out of the synagogue and he took him out the edge of town to the hill of precipitation and kicked him down that hill and out of the city, expelled from his own city where he grew up. 33 years. He never got the honor he should have gotten. Never got the glory he should have gotten. But now up in heaven, he is pictured by that Father. So likewise. Folks, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to be down there in hell watching the devil going, I want to be up in heaven watching Jesus have fun. I want to see him get the honor he deserves and the praise he deserves. Wonderful, wonderful joy I'll have. Wonderful happiness we'll all have. But Jesus will be the happiest of all. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Our Heavenly Father.